Hallelujah. So well done, everybody. And I do appreciate so much talking to the family and afterwards. And just think, you know, Brother Jesse, first of all, I want to say it is a great blessing to have someone like Brother Jesse Duplantis come, who is no different on the stage than he is off the stage. Yeah. You see, you know what I mean? You can't say that about every ministry, but the ministries that we have been blessed to be connected with, our experience has been there's not two levels. There's not two people. There's not the, this is what I'm like in front of you. Yeah, so and then when you get them away, they're not quite the same. And I don't take that for granted. That's not something everybody experiences. Not every church gets to enjoy that. And so I want to just honour Brother Jesse that he is a man of integrity, and the man that we have up the front is the man that he doesn't change. He's just consistent. And also I appreciate that it's not just the messages that he shares with the word and the teaching, but his life of just trusting God, it just comes through everything he says. Not just when he's preaching. Like I said, just his normal conversation. In fact, you know, often the stories he's sharing is just, it's just how I'm talking to him. I'm getting some echo back up here. So I know I'm preaching well, but both of us are doing it. The faith just comes out of them. There's no sense of when I'm up here I'll be full of faith. This conversation is just faith filled, and I always go away inspired to believe more, trust God for more, be more obedient, and just enter into the rest of faith. I find that he has a it's not a striving faith. You know, when you sort of, I'm believing God, it's just, he's just believing God. Yeah. And he's not under pressure because God's carrying it. So, he's not under the pressure of the things he's believing for. He's cast all that, the Lord's carrying that, he's just doing the believing. So I always get inspired by his actual life of trusting God and rather than just even his word. So I want to honour him for that. I want to say, because I recognise that's not just something that that everybody experiences. I've talked to people and other ministers and who have been disappointed at times to find that there's two different people, the one that turns up and does the preaching and then the one that they're speaking to afterwards. So I'm grateful that we don't have that issue to deal with. In fact, I find that they go up a level off the stage. Their integrity and their faith is even stronger. So I appreciate that. And I appreciated the word he brought, which was use your faith voice. Use your faith voice. And I've been meditating, obviously thinking about that. How many have ever told your kids, what do you tell your kids when they run in and they're, use your inside voice. Has anyone ever told your kids, use your inside voice? You know, you got the outside voice on the playground and they're inside. Use your inside voice. We are now inside the house. We use an inside voice. You know, when you're out there in the playground, you're using your outside voice, but in here and using your inside voice. In fact, sometimes when our kids were young, they'd be so upset about something, we'd have to say, use your words. Have you ever told your kids, use your words? Use your words. You know, I need to know what it is that they've done to you before I can deal with it. So have you ever told them, use your words, use your inside voice, you know? And so Brother Jesse came to us and says, use your faith voice. Use your faith voice. And when you're using your outside voice, you don't even realize you're using your outside voice until someone points out, hey, just use your inside voice. And sometimes you just think a voice is a voice. And when we're encouraged, actually say, well, use your faith voice because there is a different voice. Yeah. And sometimes you can forget what you're doing and not realize there's multiple voices. Yeah. Do you remember Jairus? He, in the Bible, Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. And we're just introduced to him at one time when Jesus and his disciples have come and Jairus meets him. And we don't know anything else, as far as I know, about Jairus, except he was the ruler of the synagogue and he meets him. But we do know that his daughter was very sick at the point of death. And he was slightly frantic, I believe. You know, he was time pressure. How many know that time can change your voice? Have you ever met someone and you need to say, use your peaceful voice? No elbows, all right, during this message, all right? This is for you. This is, anyone, if you get there afterwards, you've got a little bruise there. It's like, oh, this was for me, obviously. Use your peaceful voice. Use your steady voice. Many, many years ago, I was involved in a meeting, and this was nothing to do with the church. It was just something outside, but it was with Christians, and we were doing things for God. But I was at this meeting, and someone had sent a letter to the meeting that it arrived as the meeting started, and it was threatening all sorts of legal stuff and lawyers, and I was a bit flustered by it. It was like, what? You know, I don't know whether you ever get a letter that, whoa. And so I'm tending to use my flustered voice, my concerned voice, my anxious voice, and the chairman, the leader of the meeting, looked at it and go, oh, okay. All right. And I'm like, what about the letter? And he goes, oh. He's like, I'm not going to do his legal work for him. Like, he was demanding legal. He says, if he wants legal advice, he can pay for it himself. Anyway, let's move on with the agenda. He just, and I thought, can we do that? And he's like, yeah, that's, he can say what he likes. He can demand what he wants. But that doesn't mean we do it. We just set that aside. Let's get on with the agenda. Okay. Different voice. Yeah. Different voice. Yeah. Change the voice of the meeting. Yeah. We're in control of what God is saying and what God is doing. And I'm like, yeah, I've thought of that many times when the enemy sends you something and I'm, I don't have to respond to this. When does the devil get to set our agenda? When does the devil tell you you need to do this and you need? But sometimes it's like, oh, I just got to do this and we've got to do this. And God's like, that's not, you do realize that's not for me, that letter. Yeah. But you're treating it as if I've got to respond and got to act. And they can ask all they want. Well, if so, they didn't ask, they demanded in the letter. But it's like, demand all you want. Yeah. It's not our business. And if you want all the legal advice, you go and pay for it. We're not paying for your legal advice. We'll do what we'll get the legal advice we want to get. Yeah. We're comfortable with what we're doing. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, we are, aren't we? Yeah. Tell them to. Yeah. You know, and do we need to respond? No, we don't even need to respond. We're in charge of our agenda. Yeah, okay. We set our agenda. So there's different voices you can have. You can have the flustered voice, the agitated voice, the time pressure voice, the clock is ticking voice.
Yeah, so true.
The what am I going to do voice.
Yeah.
And Jairus was under the time is ticking voice. Time is ticking voice.
Yeah.
And it says, well, let us just read it so that it's from Mark chapter 5. We have this account that I like here. Verse 21, and when Jesus had crossed over again, this is Mark 5, 21, he crossed over again in the boat to the other side. A great multitude gathered about him. Just take note of that. How many people gathered? A great multitude. I'm thinking that's large, not a wonderful, you're a wonderful group of people. No, you're great in terms of your great size. Gathered about him, and he stayed by the seashore. And one of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up, and upon seeing him, fell at his feet and entreated him earnestly. He's under pressure, isn't he?
Yeah.
My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her that she may get well and live. Come, come, Jesus, come, Jesus, come, Jesus. I really like the way that Jesus worked with us. There was another man, Roman centurion, and another part where he had a servant that was sick, and Jesus said, well, I'll come. And then he sent a message, said, no need to come, just speak the word. Yeah. Jesus said, I haven't found faith like this. You know, Jesus could have done that at any stage for any of the healings. And he didn't say to Jairus, you know, I can just speak it. He met Jairus where Jairus' faith was. Jairus says, I need you to come and lay hands. Jesus, I'll come and lay hands. But he's not limited to that. So when someone says, you can just speak the word, he says, I can speak the word. So, but he works. And that's actually a lesson sometimes when your faith is at this level, but you're working with people with faith at this level, just work with the faith that they have. All right, if that's their faith, don't try and manipulate and squeeze, because sometimes it might move them out of faith. That's what they can believe for. You just work and you say, okay, all right, I can do that. I can believe for that. And I've done that many times. You know, I could believe, you know, in my heart I'd like to believe more, but I'm going to believe with you, because it's better for us to be in agreement at this level than to be in disunity at this level. And you to fall into fear and anxiety because I pushed you into a place that you don't feel comfortable. So there's a little... That's a free bonus. And so, lay your hands on her that she may get well and live. In verse 24, and he went off. Jesus went with him. And remember the great multitude? They came too. Jairus didn't invite them. He just wanted Jesus.
Yeah.
And the multitude came too.
Yeah.
You know, there's sometimes you get... You just want it to be like this, but you get this.
Yeah.
Sometimes me and Jesus were doing all right, but it's the multitude. That'd be fine, Jesus, just you and me. Jesus said, no, we're going to do it together. Anyway, this multitude was following him, but then it says, and pressing in on him. That's a beautiful word. I like it. Sun thlibo. Sun means together, and thlibo is the word to press. If you squeeze, like the example I like is squeezing grapes, the thlibo, to press, to squeeze. It's a word that's used often in the Book of Revelation and things like what's it called? Not the persecution, the tribulation. The word tribulation is just pressing, squeezing. You know, when you say the word tribulation, people ooh. I just changed the word tribulation to the word squeezing and pressing, because I know what pressure's like, and I understand pressure, and pressure is just squeezing. And so Jesus and Jairus and his disciples are now experiencing physical pressing together. They're being squeezed. So this multitude, which is on, where were they meeting? Did you notice where they were meeting before? They're on the seashore. The multitude works well on a seashore, not so well on a narrow lane.
Yeah.
All right? So this group that's out on the seashore all get funneled into the narrow lane. Caitlin says, bad organizing. That's order equals fun, says Caitlin. Order equals fun. If Caitlin was there, there'd be a whistle and guys with orange vests, and you'd be narrowed and brought in an orderly, and everyone would have been fine. But... Peter and James and John were not thinking, they're just going on and they're squeezing and they're all pressing. But in the middle of that crowd, see, sometimes I want it ordered, but there's something there that if I ordered everything, I'm not saying it's Caitlin's order, but I'm saying in the middle of that crowd was someone else.
Yeah, come on,
so good. And it was a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. She was bleeding. Now, verse 25 says, for 12 years. 12 years is a long time. All right? 12 years to have a continual flow where you are struggling to not be bleeding, because that would be very debilitating. And he said in verse 26, and had endured much at the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was not helped at all, but rather grown worse. That's quite a story, isn't it? You got to remember back then, doctors was a little bit of natural therapy and a lot of guesswork, and a lot of things that they tried. You know, you only have to go back to, you know, a few hundred years, and some of the stuff people do. You know, they used to do a thing. I don't know whether they're doing this in Jesus' time, but here they used to do bloodletting. They'd cut you to let the sickness out. Did you know that? If you went to the doctor a few hundred years ago and you were sick, they could cut you and bleed you, and they'd take a bowl of your blood to let the sickness get out. How many know that probably makes you feel pretty weak, and the sickness goes, yeah, that's interesting. There's less blood now to deal with. Now I've got a weakened person. So it didn't work very well. You know, people tried all sorts of things. So sometimes their remedies made you worse. And so that's what I take from this, that the doctors were trying stuff, and they'd prescribed her to do things, and they charge a lot of money. So now she's broke, weaker, sicker than she's ever been, but she hears about Jesus. And she's in that multitude because she has turned up. Now, because she's got a continual problem with bleeding, there's a good chance from the religious law says she should not be there. And so she shouldn't even be amongst people, because she could get into a lot of difficulty in terms of being taken by the Pharisees and said, you know, it's illegal for you to be here. But she, listen what she was doing. After hearing about Jesus, so she's heard and someone has told her, and she has come. Well done. I don't think there's even a name here. Jairus gets a name. She doesn't get a name, but well done. You're going to meet her one day in heaven. Yeah. You're going to say, you're that woman. Yeah. And I imagine her not a big woman. I imagine her, you know, but a determined woman with a determined look at that mama bear determination. And it says, after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. Now, remember, it's a multitude squeezed into a narrow space, and she somehow worked her way into the front. Yeah. That's taken a lot of guts. It's taken a lot of pressure. She's weakened already. She's at the lowest point, but she is pressing through. Yeah. But listen, you know how we said, use your faith voice. It says, because verse 28, for she thought, if I just touch his garments, I shall get well. Now, that word thought is the Greek word for lego, which, when I look at the word lego, it's to speak. You know, I'm not thinking. So why are they suddenly saying thinking? Because they're doing that. Put it into our modern understanding, but I think losing a little bit of what was really happening, because literally it would say she was saying to herself. She was saying, because in the modern translation, she was saying, but she wasn't saying it to anyone. She was just saying it. She was saying it, but she was saying it. So with this translate, well, that means you were thinking it. You know, if you're saying it to yourself, you're actually thinking. But I like to realize, you know, I think there's actually a distinction, because sometimes what I think and what I say, not always the same, and sometimes I need to say to myself to stop me thinking. I need to say to myself to shut up what I'm thinking to myself. And saying to myself is an important thing. She was saying to herself, if I just touch his garments, I shall get well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, that sounds a little bit like our T-shirt, doesn't it? The new T-shirt. Hallelujah. Put up the T-shirt there. What is it? This scripture, this is not based on this scripture. This is, can we, tell me when it comes up. There we go. There we go. It is well. It is well. It shall be well. She was saying, if I just touch his garment, I shall be well. So you could wear the t-shirt for the, when you're pressing through the crowd, you say, I got my woman with the issue of blood t-shirt on. I'm pressing in. Because I'm saying the same thing.
Amen.
I'm saying the same thing. If I just touch his garments, I shall get well. And so she's pressing in, saying this to herself. She's using her voice. She's using her faith voice. She's using her faith voice. She's not saying. She could have been saying things like, those lousy doctors have taken all my money. Their stupid things have made me worse. I'm sicker now than I've ever been. Poorer now than I've ever been. They've taken advantage of me in my weakness and my sickness. All the money I've had have gone. Are those things true?
Yeah.
It says she could have been saying that.
Yeah.
Let me just see if I can find it. Scripture shows this. I was just reading this just last couple of days in Matthew 6. You don't have to turn there. But it's just that same sort of thought. It says, Matthew 6:31 says, don't be anxious, then saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. The thing that they were seeking was the thing they were saying. The things they were saying were the things they were seeking.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, don't be like them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness.
Amen.
When you're seeking his kingdom, it changes what you say.
Yeah,
it changes the questions that you ask.
Yeah.
It changes the thing that you are talking about. You don't say, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do that? That's the questions of someone who's in anxiety.
Yeah.
Sometimes your questions make you anxious.
Yeah.
Leave that there.
Yeah.
She was not saying things to make her more anxious. She could have been saying, if they catch me, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't know whether I'm going to have the strength to do this. Look at those stupid doctors. If those doctors hadn't made my money, I could have paid for this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things she could have been saying.
So
but it says she was saying, if I just touch his garment, I shall be made whole. If I just touch his garment, I will be made whole. If I just can touch his garment, if I can just touch his garment, if I can just, excuse me, touch my garment. And she reaches through. Verse 29, and immediately the flow of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her flesh. She felt it. She felt it. She, whoo, I feel it.
Amen.
I feel it. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting when you feel, you know? She wasn't basing her faith on a feeling. The feeling was because of her faith.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's nice to feel it after your faith.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes feeling the presence of God hit you. It's like, we get used to it a little bit. Like, you know, I try not to, but sometimes what we enjoy so frequently becomes so normal to us, you forget how special it is to have God flowing. You know, when you're worshiping God and you sense the presence of God, you say, yes. But other people are like, I don't experience that. What is that? And we were, not last week, I think the week before, we were out praying. Was it like the week before we went down to the shopping center there. Yeshudas was going out, inviting people. And I said, I'll go out with you one day. And so I said, what are we going to do, Yeshudas? Because, you know, I might look bold, but actually I'm fairly shy. Most people don't know that. A lot of what my, I'm not a natural do this. I do it because this is in me to do it. Does it make sense? But it's not me.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I got Yeshudas there, okay, Yeshudas. I'm praying for you, brother. Let's do this. Because I've done, you know, me and Josh, we've done a lot of this, Jay, and I've gone out with others, and, you know, and sometimes they're looking to me, and some of them, I just pretend you're in charge, and I'm praying for you. And I said, what are we going to do first? He goes, let's go into the bottle shop. I'm like, that's not where I would have started. Let's go and let's start somewhere really, you know. Let's go where Jesus went to the... I'm like, amen, brother, go for it. And so, you know, goes and says, got this speaker coming, can we leave brochures? And they're like, okay, you know, can we pray for you? And yeah, amen, this is good. Anyway, so I'm doing a little count. I was working on a theory for a sermon with him. He didn't tell him this. I'm working on this theory, you know, when Jesus scattered the seed, not every seed hits the mark. Every seed is got the power in it. And every seed can do what it can do. But in the parable, one out of four gets the 30, 60, 100. Yeah. And when you think about it, one out of four gets 30, one out of another four gets 60, one out of another four gets 100. So one out of 12 gets 100. I know it's not meant to do the maths, but I just do the maths. But what it tells me is that if I'm sitting here saying, I am going to sow seed into the hundredfold person who receives, I've got to go 12 people first before I get them.
Yeah, so true.
If I'm thinking I'm just going to nail it every time, I'm not going to, I'm going to be hesitant.
Yeah.
I'm going to be disappointed. So I'm doing a secret count. I'm saying, how many till we get the one that's open?
Yeah.
Not saying everybody must respond.
Yeah.
So when there's a rejection, it's just, we're just ticking, I'm just moving on the list. And I was actually working for 20. I thought, let's see if we get 19 rejections before we get number 20.
Yeah.
But rather than saying a rejection is a, it's just like, well, I've got to do the rejections in order to get the other one.
Yeah, that's so good.
I'm just using that. I'm changing my mindset to say, hey, I've got to share with everybody. And yeah, there's going to be people rejecting. Now, people rejected Jesus. They left Jesus in droves. You know, the 666 verse. You know, there's a 666 verse. Mark of the Beast and John 6:66 says many disciples left him.
Yeah.
The pastors 6:66 verse. Many of them left him because they couldn't handle the things. They were offended at the words he was saying. Now, if Jesus was a little bit more understanding and had better training, he wouldn't have that, would he? If he just understood the heart of man, if he just knew how to speak, if he just was more positive, if he could just handle himself with the Spirit, if he got more wisdom, if he got more direction, he would know how to handle these things. If it happened to Jesus, I'm a little bit of a fool if I think it's not going to happen to me. So I'm doing a count. I'm actually working out how many rejections we get before we hit somebody that opens up. And we didn't get to 20. I think we got about 9. That was pretty good. 5 was pretty good too. And you know, like we were getting them along. And number 12 was quite open. I thought, oh, just destroying my theory of 20. We're doing better.
Yeah.
But number 12 was someone we're praying for. And we just said, you know, can we pray for you and just get things of the Spirit? And they're like, that was really good. That was really moving. You know, and they were really encouraged. And then we went to someone else, and Yeshudas is like, can we pray for you? This guy had some real issues and some battles. Had someone there who was actually there as a support for them. So it just sort of tells you they were. So we're praying. Yeshudas says, can we pray? So we said, okay, let's pray. And we prayed for him. And, you know, and it's just the same prayer that we do every Sunday. This guy's like, did you feel that? Did you feel that? He said, did you feel that? He says to the person, you should get them to pray for you. He said, did you feel that? I'm like, yeah, I did, but I forgot that that's not normal.
Yeah.
I forgot that's not what everybody experiences. You know, you pray for people in the presence of God and you feel the power of God. Like she felt the power of God come, and that's not normal for everyone else.
Yeah.
And I forgot sometimes that is really special. And the Lord is like, you need to pray more out there because that is special to them.
Yeah, so good.
And just praying and letting the presence of God come through your prayer. It was good, wasn't it, Yeshudas? Do you remember that? You should have stopped with, that was really good. I'm like, yeah, that was really good. You know, because like, he's like, get them to pray for you. You can feel it. You can feel it. So she felt it.
Yeah.
She felt it. And there's someone else who felt it. Jesus.
Yeah. So good. Come on.
Jesus. Verse 30, and immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself the power proceeded from him and gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" Now we remember, we have a funnel of multitude into a small space, and he turns around and says, "Who touched my garment?" Immediately, even though there was no space, I believe there was space. You know what I mean? Everybody that was close enough to touch suddenly took a step back. And Peter, being really helpful to Jesus, because you know how much Jesus needed help. You're never helping God a little bit? God, you know, if I was you, I'd talk to that person, or I wouldn't let them do this. And his disciples said to him, and it says disciples, but I think Peter, "You see the multitude pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" They literally called him out and said, "Jesus, everybody's touching you. What sort of question is this?" There's only one person in the crowd who knew what Jesus was actually asking, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And I determined a long time ago to be that person.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. To be that one that when God says, "Ooh, ooh,
yeah,
ooh, there's somebody in that meeting that's really got my attention."
Yeah, that's good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everyone's just singing, but that person, what are they doing down there? All the angels are getting centered. Everyone's like, "Can you see that?" She's like, "I can feel the power."
Yeah.
I want to be that person that gets God's attention. And you don't get it by saying, "I'm the sickest person here. Yeah. They've taken all my money. They've ruined me. The doctors have said this." Because
yeah.
I can guarantee in that crowd were a lot of sick people.
Yeah.
She didn't get healed because she was sick. Because in a multitude like that, in those times, many people would have been carrying something.
Yeah.
It wasn't the sickness that attracted God. It was the fact she was using her faith voice.
Yeah, that's good.
She was the only one using a faith voice that she matched with her faith action, and she touched him, and he felt the faith power.
Yeah.
And he said, "Who touched me?" And they all said, "Jesus, they all touched you. You're crazy." But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. That's how they knew about everything else, the physicians and everything like that. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." See, up until the point when I understood this as a young man, this changed my attitude towards God and faith 100%. I was always waiting for God to initiate and me being the faithful servant. But in this case, her faith initiated,
yeah,
and it caused God to respond, and he wasn't upset, he was happy.
Yeah, come on.
He was happy when faith drew it from him.
Yeah, come on, come on.
And she wasn't sitting at home saying, "Well, if God wants me well,
yes,
he knows my address."
Yeah.
And I remember Pastor Ricky, my father-in-law, he said, there was a woman that he was trying to get healed, and she goes, "Well, God knows my address." Yeah, he's pretty smart like that. He knows all the afflictions and knows all the addresses, and we think he just puts two and two together, and the only reason you're not healed is because he doesn't know where you live. I'd heal them if I knew where they were. This changed me because I realized I had it all back to front. My faith opens the door for God to be able to work.
Come on, so good.
And it starts by what I'm using my faith voice to say. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Go and be healed of your affliction." Now, this is all happening while what? The clock is ticking.
Yeah.
You got Mr. Things were pressing. Things got harder when the multitude decided to come. Squeeze, squeeze. Stupid multitude! I'm trying to get in there quickly and you're just slowing us all down. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops. Who touched me? Jairus says, they all touch you. Keep going. They all touch you. Keep going. Just, Jesus, we're under a time restraint here. Every second could be too late if we don't. So while all this is happening, he said, verse 35, while he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official saying, your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher anymore? This is just what he was concerned about. Now, I just want us to just read through quick and then come back a little bit to pick it apart. It says, Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, don't be afraid any longer, only believe. And he allowed no one to follow with him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James, and they came to the house of the synagogue official. And we can look at that in a second, what he does there. Did you see that, though? He only allowed, was it Peter, James, and John? Did I remember? He allowed no one to follow with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He only allowed them to follow him with Jairus. He could have stopped them at the other end of the street. You see that? Now he stops the multitude.
Yeah. Wow.
See, Jairus thinking, we could have done this earlier. Why let the multitude crush us and slow us down? Could have stopped them earlier. They stopped them there. He lets them go halfway and then stops them.
Yeah.
Is there a chance Jesus knew something was at play?
Yeah.
That there was a woman in that crowd somewhere and he had to let that woman come through.
Yeah.
Now, you look at it from two perspectives. Jairus has got the ticking clock in front of him. He's got my daughter's at the point of death. But what is Jesus giving him in front of his eyes? Someone who by faith is getting a healing.
Yeah, so good. Come on.
And he lets him see a miracle.
Yeah, that's so good.
And yet Jairus could have just been anxious and missed what God was doing.
Yeah, come on.
You know, sometimes you're so... God says, look what's happening here. Yeah, I appreciate that. But
yeah, come on, so good.
They haven't got my problems.
Yeah.
She's not at the point of death. Yeah, that's nice, God. I appreciate that. Someone says, why don't you listen to this sermon? Yeah, that's good. But don't have time to stop and read my Bible. I don't have time to watch his testimony.
Yeah.
I don't have time to listen to yours. Because I've got this problem.
Yeah.
And sometimes the very thing that we need is the thing that distracts, you know, you've got to choose. Anyway, don't know whether it's me or the Spirit, that thought, so I might just hold it, but, you know, just put together in your own mind, God is here.
Amen. Come on.
God is working. And I understand sometimes how I feel frustrated by people who are too busy trying to get their answers to stop and be here.
Yeah, come on, so good.
Do you understand that?
Amen.
Too busy trying to fix things, but no time to be here because this is a distraction to what they're going through. And yet when you're here, you hear a testimony and you see God at work and you're part of and you're there and it's all working. And God's like, yeah, now we can move on to your situation. Sometimes we just want to get on with what is the problem and God's trying to say, there's got to be change. Because you notice from that point on, he told Jairus to change something.
Yeah.
Did you hear this?
Come on. Yeah.
Verse 36, he said to him, do not be afraid any longer. Literally, it says, stop fearing, only be believing.
Woo, come on.
Yeah.
Was he in fear the whole time?
Yeah.
And he's been shown what faith can do.
Yeah.
Now he's told, stop your fearing.
Yeah, come on.
We're going to go and I need you to be in faith.
Yeah, come on.
That's why I'll stop the multitude here now. Because it's only believing is the key.
Yeah, that's
Jairus needed to, he thought it was getting Jesus there. Jesus says, you need to stop fearing and only be believing. Fearing, believing. Stop your fear voice. Use your faith voice. Stop your anxious questions. Use your faith murmuring. Use your faith self-talk. Use your faith declarations. Use your faith speaking to yourself. Stop these things, because this is one of the things. Being in faith is a choice between two options. It's stopping one and doing the other. Now, some people do try and combine them. If you want to converse with the person next to you, turn around, give them a shake of the hand and say, all the best with that. Because combination does not work well. I know that from the book of James, because in chapter 1 it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without reproach, and will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, I would say that if you're half the time in faith and half the time in doubt, you would be unstable in half of your ways. But it says if you're in faith and doubt, all your ways are unstable.
Yeah, that's so good.
It messes up everything.
Yeah.
All right? So that's why I know,
Don't
be fearing, only be believing. And so then he went.
Yeah.
And when he arrived, because now Jesus has done, it says, remember it says they came to him and told Jairus, don't bother the master, your daughter's dead. It's like too late. And Jesus said, and it says Jesus overhearing, This is a funny Greek word. It means to hear from the side. And it's got two meanings. You can either hear something that's on the side,
yeah,
and it's like I'm having a conversation here and I hear someone talking over there. So Jesus could have heard them from the side. But other translations pick up that it's actually the opposite. It can be done the opposite order. You can hear and then put it to the side.
Yeah.
Okay? Like that letter, we heard it, put it to the side.
Yeah.
So I liked, and some of the translations actually say this. I think the Amplified says both, which is good old Amplified. And someone can check that, you know. So, but anyway, but what you can say is Jesus putting to the side what the servant said, told Jairus, stop fearing, only be believing.
Yeah.
He took what had been said and just put it to the side. That's not what we're responding to. You need to get in faith.
Yeah,
stay in faith. And so off they head. When they arrive, there's a commotion. People are loudly weeping and wailing. Verse 39 says, and entering in, he said to them, why make a commotion and weep? Because this is Jesus using his faith voice.
Yeah, come on.
He says, why are you all upset? He says, she's only asleep. Stupid preacher. Hasn't he heard? She's not asleep. She's dead. But you know what? I bring my letter. He goes, oh, just asleep.
Yeah, come on. That's so good.
Don't you? Don't you know what's really happening?
Amen.
And I do tell you this. When you start to use your faith voice, people will think you're crazy.
Yeah.
Because you will say things out of faith that they will not understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you could be respected by everybody, and just living their life,
yeah,
or you can get God's attention and speak the things that he wants.
Yeah.
I choose God. Yeah. And they began laughing at him. I'd be mortified.
Yeah.
I'm going there to help. They've called. He's called me. I'm the big preacher to come. And they're laughing at me.
Yeah.
No, I take that back. I won't be mortified because I'll be smarter than that now.
Mm-hmm.
But neither will I be fearful of their laughter.
Yeah, so good.
Neither will I say only things that keep them happy.
So good.
Neither will I keep my mouth shut and not speak and use the voice of faith. Because it's those voices of faith that get the job done.
Yeah.
And they began laughing at him, but he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and his own companions, entered the room where the child was, taking the child by the hand. He used his faith voice.
Yeah, so good.
He said to it, Talitha kum, which, you know, used the Aramaic for little girl, I say to you, arise.
Come on. Yeah.
And immediately she arose and began to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately they were completely astounded, except for Jesus. It was like,
yeah. Come on.
Gave them strict orders, no one should know about this, and he said that something should be given her to eat. Nice and practical. This is one of my other things about using a faith voice, and I really want to... I know I have said this multiple times, but I need, it's just something I keep getting challenged with. Sometimes we are praying to God when he's telling us to speak the faith thing to the situation.
Yeah, so good.
All right? When Jesus was going into the temple and they went past the fig tree, Jesus spoke to that fig tree because it didn't have the fruit.
Yeah.
I'm not going, this is another passage, I'm not going to take time to go there, but he spoke to it and the disciples were amazed when they came back. So look, that tree that you spoke to is dying from the roots up. And Jesus said, just have faith in God. He said, speak to the mountain.
Yeah, come on, so good.
If you speak to the mountain will go into the ocean. I have a friend when I was a teenager, minister two, got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. His name was Spiros, Greek boy, Spiros, the Spirit. And he was full of the Spirit. He was a great evangelist. He's still a great evangelist. He actually went back to Greece, got thrown into jail for preaching the gospel, because in Greece it's illegal to proselytize, to turn someone from the Greek Orthodox faith to, you know, Christianity, Protestant Christianity. And he would go down on a Friday night, Saturday night, and they'd throw him in jail, multiple days sometimes, just because he's like, whatever. Spiros, good man. But he knew a bit of Greek. And he said, this verse says, he's laughing. It's like, hey, mountain, find yourself in the ocean.
Yeah.
That's how he read it. Like, hey, mountain, find yourself in the ocean.
Yeah.
But you got to speak to it. About 12 months ago, we had a special outreach we're doing for all the factories on a Friday. We're inviting them to come down for a lunch and to reach out to them and do some things. And the weather was looking a bit bad. And I knew that if it rained, people are not going to walk down. So I'm really praying, I'm watching, I'm looking at the map. You know, all the things that build your faith? Looking at the weather, looking at the maps, looking out at the clouds, working. Anyway, half an hour to go, I said, I'm going to do one more loop around because I told them, I'd gone around a couple of days ago, given them brochures, said, come on down. I thought, they'll forget, they're busy tradies and stuff. I'll go one more time, walk around, and I will give them all the brochures. So don't forget, half an hour's time, there'll be free sausages. And you come down, and they'd come down and we'd take them through the church, we'd give them free Bibles and stuff. It was really, really good. But the weather was looking putrid. And the forecast was rain and more rain just gonna come in that afternoon. And I'm like, and I'm looking and it's like, those clouds are getting big and grey, and I knew once, and the forecast is once it comes in, it's settled for the next, you know, 36 hours. So I went to get my raincoat to do the, it hadn't started raining yet, but I looked at those clouds, so I put my raincoat on because I thought this rain is coming. I've been praying against it, but I might need my raincoat. And the Lord's like, you know, where's your faith?
Yeah.
Where's your faith?
Yeah, so
Like, yeah, where is my faith? Take this raincoat off. I don't need no raincoat. So I go, I'm doing. I get halfway around and it starts to rain. And I'm walking back the other side of this street, going in. And I'd come out of the driveway, and it's dripping down my face. It's like really heavy rain. And I felt the devil laughing at me. You didn't even bring your raincoat. And I'm like, God, God, send the rain away. Send the rain away. And I heard God said, since when do you pray for these things? You know better. Didn't ask you to, you don't pray for these things. You speak to those clouds. I'm praying for the weather. And the devil's laughing at me. And God's like, why are you praying to me? You know better than that. You don't pray for the mountain, you speak to the mountain. Well, they're clouds. So I said, I speak to you, clouds, open up and let there be sunshine over our event. I declare it and I speak it. I make that, and I command, and I just, not talking to God, talking to the clouds. About halfway through, we've got sausages, and the guy's like, one of the guys, and they just, look at that blue sunshine. Who would have thought today we'd have blue sunshine? And I'm like, I would. I would. I know where that came from. We're not meant to have any sunshine, but while we were having our barbecue, we had actually blue sky that I could look out and see. And I felt like fighting the devil, who was laughing at me, to say, because he's not there anymore. You know, he'll laugh at you and then he'll slink off. He doesn't stay to take his medicine. So that's all right. Thank you, God. But I'd forgotten under the pressure to speak to it. Because I was praying for it. Because I thought that's very spiritual. And it was like, God, we've got invited all these people and we've spent all this money and we really want to reach out. All good things. But that's not using my faith voice. Use your faith voice. Hallelujah.